Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live
back from sunny Virginia. How you doing today, Derek?
Hey, Tasha, I'm doing good. Just enjoying another day that the Lord has given me to be here. That's just feeling good.
Hey, man, you preaching, Harvey? You preaching?
yeah, I try. I try every now and then, you know.
Every now and then you try to get a little bit in, get a word or two
in. Yeah, I try to. You know, even if I have to go in there sideways, I'm going to get in there one way or another, hopefully.
I know that's right. As long as you get in, get through the gates, right?
Exactly.
That's what's up. I'm glad to talk to you again, Derek. I hope you didn't have too much separation anxiety last week.
No, actually, I was all right. I felt like, you know, I got that last weekend, and that rectified the situation of the previous. So I think I'm on a good even keel now.
That's what's up. You know, this is so random, but I wanna ask you this while I'm thinking about it, because I saw an awesome Facebook post last week where you bought a classic. Cressida, what is it called, Toyota?
Oh, yeah, a 1984 Toyota Cressida, and I believe they started in 76, and the last year model was 1992, and I kind of got the equal medium in there and got the classic 84 body style, so I'm pretty happy with that. A little old lady up in Thousand Oaks, which is where a lot of the older stars, I don't know who the lady is in particular. But from what I'm understanding, it was one owner, and an older lady had bought it brand new in 1984, and it only had 99,000 actual miles on it. So she barely drove it like an average of like 3,000 miles per year, which, needless to say, she had other vehicles at her hand to use. But this vehicle is just something special, Tasha. You know, being a car collector in my past, this is one that I think I'm going to really cherish and just love the pieces. Becky likes it, but she seems to think that she's used to the Mercedes. I don't know if she'll ever drive it, but that'll be fine with me, because I'll take up her slack.
Wow, a 1984 with only 99,000 miles on it. That's unheard of.
It really is, and when you look at it, you can even tell. I mean, it was the full meal deal, as I say. You know, had all the bells and whistles it came with in 1984, which is the leather, everything it came with. I think what happened was this was the number one luxury model for Toyota at the time, and I believe it was replaced by the Avalon. Or maybe I'm thinking the Avalon or the Camry, the full meal deal Camry of nowadays. But this car is, when they first came out. Yeah, I remember when they first came out, I thought, wow, that was a really nice car. Of course, I wasn't into buying much in the way of foreign cars back in the day, being, you know, the all-American status and track and field that I had. I tried to stay with American, but this car, couldn't pass up. It's one that what they're doing now, and I know we'll move on. Well, what they're doing now is, I mean, this is a car that a lot of people are buying and doing the Fast and Furious on, and using them as what they call drifter cars. You know, drifter racing, or how they go sideways, because it had rear wheel drive, which is kind of unheard of now. Most cars are having front wheel drive, but this car is one that they're taking and dropping 4-speed stick shifts or 5-speed sticks in them, and doing the rear wheel drift with them. So I think I got something that somebody might want to offer me something for. Yeah, it's really nice.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I tell you what, when I saw it, I was like, man, that car is smoking. That's hot.
Yeah, it looks brand new, and it has, like I say, you know, the leather seats with the button kind of cushions with these buttons all over, and it's kind of like looking at a leather couch in somebody's house.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. Man, I hope to get out to California soon so I can, partake in a ride with you.
Well, you know, it's got so lots of blue miles, I might just have to drive out there and see you guys in it.
Hey, that sounds good, too.
Well, it would have to be Atlanta. I can't drive all the way to Virginia. It would have to be when you're in Atlanta, though, Tasha. I can't drive all the way to Virginia, I don't think. It will be one of your times when you're in the Atlanta area. I could go that far. We'll meet part way.
Oh, come on now. You can drive on out here.
Yeah, I guess. Now, how far are you from Atlanta? How much further would I need to drive? I know how far I would need to drive to Atlanta. Now, how much further of a distance would I need to drive from Atlanta to where you're at in Virginia?
Oh, well, let me tell you. It's about 9-10 more hours.
Oh, okay. I think I can do that. I can do that as long as I can sleep over and make it. Like I told you, I'm not going to get on nobody's plane. I will drive wherever I need to go and take the time getting there. That's for sure.
Wow, you don't fly at all?
Well, no. Well, if push comes to shove and I have to do it, I will. But otherwise, I think I'll take the time to drive. I'm just, you know, my OCD just ain't having the idea of flying too much right now unless I absolutely have to get on the plane, you know. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, I understand.
You know?
I understand. Yeah. And, you know, with everything going on, I'm telling you, it's like, hey, things are, you know, people scared to fly, rightfully so.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's really a mess with the way things are. It's, you know, at any given time, you never know. And it's safe than sorry with me. If I don't have to do it, I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I get that. So, you know, speaking of safety and security, we're continuing to talk about the elections today. I am happy to say that I got my Virginia voter registration card in the mail yesterday.
All right then.
I'm so happy and excited.
That's great, because we all need to get our vote in. We got, you know, we just got to do it. I'm hoping that everybody out there who is not registered yet. I don't think it's too late. I don't know how it works. Maybe state to state it may vary, but I know. Everybody needs to be ready to go to that voting booth and exercise their right to do the best they can in getting the candidate that's going to lead us into to what we need to be as far as a whole, the best we can, you know.
Absolutely, Derek. I'm telling you, I'm excited about going to the polls, and I'm excited about voting for. Well, let me say, I'm excited about not voting for Donald Trump. I'll put it like that. And I'm equally ecstatic about voting for Hillary Clinton, who is the person we're actually going to be talking about today.
I hear you. You know, I'm Democrat, so I vote the Democrat card regardless. I mean, you know, and it's a thing where you got to take a strong case and look at who what we're trying to do as far as making things best for all people, you know. I mean,
yeah,
there's people that are being you know, singled out as not being someone that the certain candidates are in the way of being in their corner. So we got to look at what's
right.
Going to be best for everybody. We have to look and see what's going to be best for every American citizen possible, if possible. Okay, that's what I look at.
Absolutely. And you know, not to we talked about Trump last week, and we're gonna get on we're gonna talk about Secretary Clinton today, but I had an opportunity to watch just a snippet. You know, I don't watch much TV. I get most of my news from the internet and social media, or it's like CNN.com or Fox News, but I had an opportunity to watch a little bit of CNN Don Lemon last night, and I can't remember his guest speaker's name, but it was a young black guy, and he, I guess he's a real popular journalist, excuse me, and he was responding to, first of all, let me send out condolences to the people who have died over the last several months, and specifically the last few days in Chicago, and more specifically Dwayne Wade's cousin who was shot in Chicago. So I guess Donald Trump responded to the shooting and actually made it a political issue, of course. And one of the things that he said, well, the first tweet that he sent out, you know, he's an expert tweeter, And the first tweet that he sent out, he was basically saying, see, black people, this is why you need to vote for Trump, basically. Remember the last time we talked on Tuesday, his thing was, what the hell do you have to lose? Well, now he's saying, like, I told you so. No condolences, no, you know, sorry for all the lives. Because it was like 24 people shot within, I think it was 24, 48, or 72-hour period in Chicago. And 4 people died, and I think she was one of them. And that was a couple of days ago. So I don't know, you know, what's transpiring in the last couple of days. But this journalist, who was on, not with Don Lemon, he was on with Anderson Cooper, pardon me. He was telling Anderson that Anderson asked him about a tweet that he sent out in response to Donald Trump, and he basically called Donald Trump a bigot and said that, you know, black people hate you, like, why don't you see that? And so I thought that was pretty interesting because some black people do hate him, but, you know, there are some black Trump supporters out there.
Yeah, it's like feast or famine when it comes down to that. It's like people are really pro-Trump or they're really against him, totally, you know. And I think, and we touched on it last week, Tasha, the thing is we do have a nucleus of the black community who is in favor of Trump because of what his rhetoric is saying as far as him going out of his way to do this and that and the other for the black community, which, you know, I've got my own ideas about that, and you know, I don't feel that Donald Trump is the candidate for me, but for whatever reason, he's getting some black people in his corner, and hinging on the possibility of him doing a better job than Hillary will. So I don't know what to say about that, but I guess to each his own, and people have their own reasons of why they feel and accept certain things from certain people. But I mean, that's them. That's on them for what I say.
Right. Absolutely. What can you say? You know, I was telling some people know I drive Uber and Lyft part time, and so it's actually really fun, Derek. I really enjoy driving Uber and Lyft out here in Virginia. I drive Lyft in Atlanta. But anyway, I had a couple clients who I was driving, and we were talking politics, which, you know, sometimes is the unspoken rule. You just don't talk about religion and politics, right? But I can't remember how it came up. So anyway, we were talking about Donald Trump, and I was telling them that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I actually unfriended someone on my Facebook page. They were a Donald Trump supporter, and I didn't unfriend them because they were a Donald Trump supporter, Derek. I unfriended them because their page was simply full of negativity. And I bring this up because it amazes me that, you know, people of color specifically, all the racist, bigoted, sexist statements, homophobic statements that he has made over the past several months. I just, for the life of me, can't understand why people support him. I don't get it. So anyway, I unfriended this guy, and he's probably like wondering why I unfriended him. But, and again, it wasn't because he was a Trump supporter. It was more so because his page was full of hate. And actually, that's representative, in my opinion, of Donald Trump. He is full of hate, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is, you know, what he's doing in his tactics of his campaign hinges on hate and the divisiveness and just saying all the wrong things, and it makes you wonder, the people that are following him, you know, what does that tell you about the way they feel and the way they think? You know, it's like people are coming out of the woodwork on how they truly feel and how they really represent in the line of the way people are now, you know. And it's just like people are not afraid to come out and blast and say things or say the negative things, just like you say, this gentleman that you unfriended. But I don't know. That's why I say I'm going with Hillary. You know, I feel confident that she would definitely do a better job than Donald Trump. That's for sure.
Mhm. Absolutely. So speaking of Secretary Clinton, what do you think about you know, this report that just came out, what time? This report came out today. It just came out, actually, right before the show, about an hour ago, 11:35, and the title of it is FBI to release report on Hillary Clinton email investigation as soon as Wednesday, which is tomorrow. So let's talk about the email. They're calling it, I guess for a lack of better terms, the email scandal. What do you think this is going to do for Secretary Clinton's presidency likelihood or potential, Derek?
Well, here's what I'm coming into the context and thinking, Tasha. The email, I mean, they took her before the FBI and they did their investigation and they did that, and she was clear of that. I mean, that in itself is something to let you know that regardless of what your own personal feeling is about that, you know, we allow justice to serve itself. And in many cases, you know, you name it in different instances about where justice is not served, you know, and then we have to live with that, you know. But in this case, justice will serve as to the outcome of that, and that is something that people have a problem with, you know, and, you know, that's going to be a thing no matter what. And just like I say, about any instance of whatever the case may be, you know, on that end, we have to accept that. And obviously, you know, you wonder about what the emails entailed and that, but chances are, you know, we'll never really find out for sure whether they made a big difference or not in the time that's left before we elect a president. So my thing is, you know, it can't be any worse than what Donald Trump is doing and what he's not doing as far as releasing his income tax information. So one can't, you know, it's like the kettle calling the skillet black. You know, neither one can really say anything about it because, you know, as we talked about last week, there is no perfect politician. You know, if that were the case,
right,
then we wouldn't have had these situations where Congress was tying up the line and making it where they were going to thwart anything that President Obama put before the table to do. And they were animate in saying, well, whatever he wants to do, we're not going to do it. We're going to go against the grain, you know. So we're talking about a decadence on the whole ball of wax when it comes down to politicians. And many people are thinking and saying that Donald Trump is a result of that because people are mad at politicians, period, which is why we've got a non-politician in there who shouldn't be. That's where it is.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. So when you think about, I guess, the email scandal with Secretary Clinton, and you think about the political landscape of the United States, and it being, I guess, the history that we've had, I'm just wondering if the email scandal would have been that big of a deal if it were, number one, another politician, and number two, if she weren't female. Been as big of a deal there?
I'd be willing to say it wouldn't. I mean, there's, you know, we have, on the most part, and I hate to say it, a very sexist mentality where that, you know, and, you know, it's something that just puts a bad taste in the mouth because, you know, just like the situation where women are paid less than men for doing the same jobs and that kind of thing, that is such a discriminant thing, you know, where, you know, I'm sure that it brings into a lot of account that she is female, that would be a situation more so than anything else. And that is what's really sad, you know, that people will make that be a situation just because she's female. But I think that has a lot to do with it, Tasha, I hate to say.
I think so too. And I just wonder, you know, like if, say, like a Ronald Reagan would have done something like this. Of course, we know he had his scandals that he had during his presidency. I just wonder if something as, I'm going to call it minute, but, you know, something like emails, if that would have been, you know, that big of a deal if someone else, someone like Ronald Reagan, had done it.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with whether you're a Democrat and do it and whether you're Republican and do it, because it seems like there's some what do I want to say, unjustifiable things when it goes down to that, you know, versus the other, you know, it's kind of like a double standard mentality in a lot of instances when certain people of certain races or even certain political backgrounds do things, then certain things happen.
Absolutely.
You know, just like, not to get off topic, but just think about this one kid who's getting, I think he's getting out of jail today about raping this woman and did only 2 months of a 6-month sentence, which was absurd to begin with for raping someone. You know, and had that been an African American or Hispanic or anyone of color, just think what it would have been in that case. You know,
absolutely. I think are you talking about was that the Duke situation or somewhere, one of those major colleges or universities?
From Stanford, yeah, the kid from Stanford who
raped
a woman behind a dumpster. Yeah, yeah, he was on the swimming team and kid of privilege, that kind of thing. So it just kicks me off to no end on why people, you know, it's discriminant. It's a discrimination, you know, between race, between politics, between, you know, anytime you discriminate against something, that's my pet peeve. I cannot go there and accept that. I really can't.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, Derek. And, you know, along those lines of, and this is related to Secretary Clinton, because the person involved was one of her closest aides. What do you think about this this Wiener story, the guy who has got caught sexting again? Now, this is like the third time he's been caught, and his wife finally decided, you know what, enough is enough. And she's one of Clinton's aides. I can't remember her name right now, but I know her husband. I'm going to look up her name, but his name is Wiener. And Anthony Wiener, and he got caught. Are you familiar with the case, Derek?
Yes, yes. I keep up on CNN and watching and seeing what's going on to stay current and knowing what we're going to discuss when we come online. Yeah, that situation there, and there's just another one of those witch hunts, so to speak, because they're trying to say that Hillary's judgment is this and tainted because she's got this woman who's her like right hand person who's got this husband, and that has nothing to do with her. I mean, this is you know, and then the commentators are pointing things out, and this, you know, if you listen in, and it just depends on, you know, if you're listening to the right commentary and absorbing it the way you should, then you'll understand it. And there's a lot of ludicrous situations that people are putting out there and trying to blame her for everything. You know, that has nothing to do. That was a personal matter between her aide and her husband. You know, I mean, that shouldn't interfere. But, of course, you know, it's going to interfere and be brought up as being an issue for her candidacy, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because two things. First of all, I just wonder – if and the lady's name is Huma Abedin. I hope I'm
yeah,
saying that right.
Abedin, Uma Abedin,
that's
I think
wife.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced it. Yeah. Uma Abedin, yeah.
Uma Abedin. Yes. Okay, thanks,
mm-hmm.
Derek. So I just wonder if she were not a Clinton aide, if she were not one of Clinton's aides, if this would have come out when it did. Number one. And then number two, why is this cat sexting again, though?
He's a sick dude. I mean, and did you hear the part that he did it and the picture shows his baby laying next to him and he shows his underwear and stuff like that? That tells you how sick he is, you know?
Yeah.
He's got the baby in the picture.
Like, really, dude? You got your baby in the picture? Like, I'm going to go there because we were just talking about race a few minutes ago. Now, if this were, let's say, the Atlanta mayor's name. It's on the tip of my tongue now.
Mary Berry?
Cassine Reed, the current mayor.
Okay, I thought you were going back to the crack thing. Yeah.
So if this were Cassine Reed, right, and he had a sexting picture, and his son or daughter was next to him, Can you imagine the scrutiny that he would get? Like, they would kick him out of office. They probably would have him arrested for child neglect.
Of course. Of course. You know, that's that double standard mentality, depending on race, depending on, you know, gender, depending on whatever, you know, the case may be, where people look differently at things depending on, you know, who they are, you know. It's a sad, sad thing. It really is. It really is sad.
Absolutely. You know, we talk to the kids about, you know, the whole sexting issue, and we, you know, tell them the importance of watching what you send on social media, watching what you text people, watching what you inbox people, because, you know, there's been cases where, like, a 17, 18-year-old young black male in Louisiana, he got, like, arrested in jail time for sexting with his girlfriend at the time was 16 or 17. It was like a 2-year difference, but he was considered an adult and she was considered underage, even though there was only a couple of years difference. And this young man got in some serious trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it just all depends on the jurisdiction, and probably geographically it makes a big difference, because, you know, in the South, you know how that is, you know, versus a lot of places. But so it just varies. It varies on if you're a known individual, if you got money, you know, that makes a difference nowadays, because money knows no color when it comes down to it. Sometimes, you know, when you think about certain situations, like with the OJ trial, you know, you had OJ not been in the position he was with having the money and the glamorous background in his life, who knows what would happen there. So it's about money. It's about race. Mm-hmm. It's about religion. It's about politics. And it all entails into some getting the underhanded factors and things because of that.
Well,
needless to say, you know, it just makes a difference, I guess, Tasha, which it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of money and race and the election and politics and all of that, there is a new poll released today saying that Donald Trump is chipping away at Hillary Clinton's national lead. So, excuse me, so she's basically still leading, it looks like, with about 49 or so, and he's at about 45, or, excuse me, let's see, Clinton leads with 41%, a 4-point margin over Trump, which is at 37%, and then the Libertarian that we talked about last week, his name is Jill Stein, I couldn't remember his name last week, he has 5%. So what do you think it's going to take? It's a two-part question, but number one, what do you think it's going to take for Hillary to kind of take off and sail away and nail this election? What do you think that's going to take, Derek?
The debates. That's going to make the difference. When these debates start to happen, as we said last week, there's going to be some fireworks. And it's going to be a situation that Donald Trump is not going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with Hillary on issues and politics, because he, you know, and then his temperament, I think that he might snap and go off and try to do something in the line of his temperament, you know. So I think when it comes down to it in the debates and just people in general knowing better, that's what it's going to take. I don't see it being a problem, especially when it comes time for the debates and people see for sure what they're dealing with. I mean, if they haven't seen it already, those are the people who are not going to change their mind about Donald Trump and being in his corner of being someone who's going to be voting for him. But because, you know, he's got some true diehard people, and he said it way back when in the early parts of the preliminary that he could be in Manhattan, in the streets of Manhattan, and shoot somebody, and he'd still have his followers. Now, that tells you something right there, you know. He feels that way, you know, with his narcissistic self, you know.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I think it's going to be a problem. Go ahead, Tasha.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. so I think she's going to, like, really nail him in the debate. She's an awesome debater, and he's a horrible debater, in my humble opinion, partially because she has very factual information. She has great experience, and she has the knowledge to be able to answer the questions on national policy, on, you know, the national security and international relations, foreign relations. She has the history and the knowledge. Donald Trump, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, does not, he lacks that knowledge and that experience. And I think that, you know, he's gotten where he is now. He's gotten this far because he's been able to kind of out-talk all the Republican, the other Republican candidates. He's been the loudest one and the most boisterous person on the stage. But I just don't think that that will win him over with the people against Secretary Clinton.
Well, with Donald, I think the jig is up, so to speak. You know, he did well in the preliminaries. He got to where he is. He beat out the people that he beat out to become the actual nominee. But I think that's where it's going to stop, because now people are going to really stop and take a look at what's really important in this matter of electing a president for our country. We need to be very, very sound-minded in knowing that we need someone of sound mind to represent our nation. Donald Trump is not that person. I hate to say it, but, I mean, you know, I really feel good in calling it out as it is in this matter, that, you know, Hillary has her issues and people are saying this and that, and you know, but what we're saying, what we've said is there is no perfect candidate. There is no perfect anything, for that matter. And of the two, Hillary is definitely someone that's going to channel through as being the person best geared to be the president in this instance. That's just the way I think people are going to really come to their senses, and well, not all of them, because they're going to be the ones who are going to, no matter what, like Donald Trump says, you know, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. They're
right.
Gung-ho in doing that. But I feel safe in saying that Hillary should very much come through on this.
Okay, and that was a two-part question. That's my second part of the question, but before I go there, I wanted to say, finish my thought, that the first presidential debate is on September 26th. That's the first presidential debate, and it's going to be held in Hempstead, New York, and then the first vice presidential debate, which will be very interesting as well, is Tuesday, October 4th. In Farmville, Virginia, not far from me. So, but my second part of the question, Derek, let's play devil's advocate for a moment. What do you think it would take? Same question for Hillary Clinton that we asked about Hillary Clinton. What do you think it would take for Donald Trump to take off and sail away with the election?
Something more than a miracle, as far as I'm concerned, because, like I say, when it comes down to it, the people already know. I mean, there's people that are already knowing for sure that they're not going to vote for Donald Trump and that they're going to go with Hillary, because of the fact that Donald, you know, when you listen to Donald Trump, it's so ridiculous how he sounds, you know, and what he says, and the average person, you know, I would say, is going to be a far vast majority not going to go by that, not going to go with that, and not going to be respecting what he says and does and the way he does it, and actually go in there and ink him in as the president. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to take a lot for him to do it. I mean, get back to your question. I don't know what it's going to take, but it's probably going to take something that's going to go on as far as them doing something with the votes. As you know, we know what happened back in the presidency, where what happened in the state of Florida, where they had the hanging chad and that kind of thing. So something's going to have to happen illegal at the balloting boxes for Donald Trump to win. I really believe that there's something that's going to have to go really wrong with the voting system to really give him that opportunity to win the presidency. I don't see him doing it. I really don't. People are too much in being in realization when it really comes down to it to go in there and vote for him. I really do believe that.
Wow. That's very interesting that you say that, Derek. I agree. And I say it's interesting because, you know, Donald Trump says that the elections and debates and all of this stuff is rigged. So I wonder if he'll say that if he wins. I wonder if he'll say, oh, I only won because it's rigged.
No, he's not going to say that if he wins. He only will say that if Hillary wins. You know, he's very much double standard when it comes down to it. He's not going to he'll call somebody else that he's twice the amount of being of something, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I want to shift the discussion just a little bit before we wrap up. I can't believe it's almost time for us to wrap up, Derek. I want to just talk a little bit about, I mentioned it briefly, about the Chicago killings. I want to just talk a little bit about that because, you know, we have talked in the past, Derek, about the violence that goes on in our country and around the world. You and I have talked about the senseless killings, the senseless police brutality. And now, you know, we have a continuation of killings in the Chicago area. As I mentioned, you know, there was 24 people shot like within a 72-hour period. I can't remember what it was, but I just don't understand the senseless violence that is going on there. And, you know, Spike Lee was on CNN last night. I watched it briefly last night. And he talked about a little bit about his show. I haven't seen it. Have you seen that movie, Chi-Raq?
Yeah, I did see Chi-Raq. I did. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was pretty interesting.
So what do you think of it?
You know, it hit on a lot of things that made sense, and knowing that even in general society as to what it entails. I mean, it was based on something sexual, which is something we don't want to go there on, but it hit a point, you know, where if things are going in a certain way that is so wrong and so that's absurd that it's not going to change, then we got to make some type of a commitment to do something to make a change, you know, to bring about a change in that. And that's what it's all about, you know, in the Chicago situation, and not just in Chicago, but I think in just about any major city nationwide, you know, you in Detroit and you know, parts of Philadelphia, you know, there's some really bad areas where there's gang infested situations going on. Just in particular, the situation that happened with Dwayne Wade's cousin was two gang members who supposedly saw another person who may or may not have been in another gang, looked at him wrong or something, and then they took to taking it up on their own to shoot at this guy. And just so happens that the Dwayne Wade's cousin was in the line of the fire and got hit instead. So we're talking about inner city decadence that's come on by way of what we've talked about as much as far as systemic racism or the economy or just the way it is, what it's become, you know, the decadence of the society of certain areas in our nation, that they could care less. It's like they're war zone. Just like, you know, anybody would be unsafe to say to go into certain areas. I mean, there's places there that if you're not from a particular area, you're not going to be caught. Well, you will be caught dead there because that's what's going to happen to you. You know, you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance on dealing with it. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about people, you know, the two individuals that shot and killed Dwayne Wade's cousin. They were both on parole. They were both people who, think about that. These are people who have no regard for life in general, let alone anybody of their same race, or whether it was a female and strolling her 3-month or 3-week old child. They had no regards whatsoever for human mankind. I mean, these are scums of the earth people doing this. We're not talking about good Samaritan people. We're talking about people who could care less about who they kill. They probably kill their own mother if they needed to make a point. So that's where we have to really look at the social consciousness of where we are and know that we have to be prayed up, and we have to have the faith of God in our systems to make it a better way with our kids. You know, we have to pass that on to our kids, because there's some really, really hateful, heartless people in this world that are making it bad for the innocent and the good people of this world.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree, and it's sad that we've come to the point where we have. But you know, it's kind of one of those unfortunate things, an unfortunate reality. And as usual, we will have to keep Chicago in our prayers, keep our nation in our prayers, and just keep everybody in prayer. It's sad. We're living in a sad time.
Yeah, and you know, it's just the whole thing of us realizing that anything can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know, we have to be mindful, and when we leave our front door each day, that we have to really hope and pray that things are going to be all right with us as an individual, because you know, there's just so many people around us who aren't right in the mind. I mean, they could be, and then, you know, you never know that they're mentally deranged or whatever the case may be, or just be, like I say, heartless, cold-hearted people who are hateful and you know, they're out there, and you know, they can be on any corner. They can be in any place that you happen to go and just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it is something that I pray for continuously, Tasha, and hopefully everybody else who are in the mind of praying will also do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, Derek, it's about time for us to wind up. What are we going to talk about next week?
You name it, we'll talk about it. There's so much, like I say, you know, with us being off the air for a minute, there's so much that has accumulated, and you know, I'm open to whatever you want to talk about, Tasha, because, you know, I will try to give the best insight I can on my behalf, and I know that you will too, and that's what we get. We get the two of us and Becky. You know, Becky always listens to the show when she gets off. Like, for instance, when she gets off today, she'll come in and she'll listen to the show, and just like last week, she said, "Is that it?" You know, when the show was over, and I said, "Yeah, that's it." She said, "Wow, that went by so fast." I said, "Yeah, that's because we be on it. You know, we get on it, and we put it out there, and the time just flies by, and it's... it's a reason, because you know, we're hitting on some things, and people who are inboxing me on Facebook, or they come on the webpage and they leave me notes and they say what a great job we do and glad we're back on, and we're really doing the dang thing. We're doing the dang thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So I totally agree, Derek. Well, let's just see. Let's see what's in the news next week, and we'll talk about whatever's current. We got a holiday coming up next week, Monday, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about. One of the things that I definitely want to talk about that we have not, I'm so surprised we haven't brought it up, either one of us yet, but I want to talk about Ryan Locke next week, the guy who the Olympian who got into trouble over in Rio and made this concoction of a story up, and now he's potentially going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So we will start out talking about him next week, but we'll figure it out. We'll talk about whatever's current in the news next week, and we'll do what we do there.
That's right. You know, I mean, we'll never have nothing to talk about. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you give me one of your impressions. You know my favorite, but I'll let you pick to close us out, Derek.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. I knew you were gonna come with that, and I had to kind of think in terms of, well, if she come with that, what am I gonna do? I think I wanna tab my man James Earl Jones, because you know, with him and his voice and intonation and that would be something like, "First of all, there's so much that we can do to make this a better way for everyone. And if we don't, then I'm going to take them to the Death Star with me, and it will be done that way."
Man, you are so good at those.
Well, you know, you got to be good at something, and I guess that's one of the things that I feel good about being, because I can, you know, bring those voices in, and I can, you know, spin them and put my own thing in there and make a point. And there's nothing more that I'd rather do than making a point in a way that people can really take a look at, and that's one way I can do it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you so much, Derek.
And I, you, Tasha. I mean, you know, it's all about what we can do in life to make it better for the next person. And if we can only save just that next person, we've done our job.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to close out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Those of you who listened online, and to all of our on-demand listeners, we appreciate you. We are going to be right here live next week for Tuesday Talk with Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith and Mr. Derek Scales Shelton. So you can join us at blogtalk.com/live-love-laugh at 12 Eastern Standard Time. So dial in to hear the show on your phone. That dial-in number is 323-642-1299. 323-642-1299. Also want to let you know that I will be starting back Monday Morning Glory, the first Monday in September, which is next week, 1 week from yesterday. So next week, join me at 6:30 a.m. sharp. It's a time for prayer, music, and motivation. We're going to start the week off right, and I may start it the following Monday because this is a holiday coming up. I just thought about that. So stay tuned for that. Look for the post on my Facebook page. Tasha.Meredith on Facebook, Dr. Tasha Meredith on Twitter, or you can always find information on the show on Derek Scales Shelton, Derek E. Scales Shelton's page. Until next week, God bless you. Love you, Derek. Thank you so much.
Love you too, Tasha, and I'll look forward to whatever we talk about next week. You know that.
All right. We'll holler. Peace, everybody.
Heaven is listening, so here we go. The angels all around.